Happy New Year, everybody, Tim Emerson of Kuan Yin Healing, and we are here for Lose the Moose 2014. So let me explain a little bit about that. The, a moose is obviously a very large object, and when it's someplace it doesn't belong, it really sticks out. And yet, we can tend to be oblivious to things that are right in front of us. And these are some of the major things that can prevent us moving forward. So let me start by telling a story, kind of what gave me the idea for this. Years ago, I graduated into a pretty crappy economy. It was a stagflation. If you're not familiar with that term, it means that we had extremely high inflation, yet stagnant economic growth. So, it was not a good economy. It was, I had graduated from school talented and smart and with honors, and I found out that the world didn't much care about that. And I had spent a lot of time feeling sorry for myself about a whole bunch of things going on in life. And I was sitting in my apartment on New Year's Eve, watching Dick Clark on my little black and white television and finishing up half a bottle of cheap champagne I'd gotten somewhere. And something just snapped for me. And I decided to stop feeling sorry for myself. I downed the rest of the champagne and said, enough. Tomorrow, things change. Start beating the street. And I put down the bottle, turned off the television, went to bed, got up in the morning, and started doing exactly that. Typed out a resume, and on the second, got to copy shop and made some copies of that. And literally just, I picked a street in Syracuse, and I just started, where there were a lot of businesses, and just started going down it. One of these places was Dean Witter Reynolds, and I went in there and told them why I was there looking for a job, and had my resume, and the secretary said, wait a minute, and she comes back in 5 minutes and says, can you wait here? So I waited for about 30 minutes before she ushered me into a small conference room, and it turns out that I was talking to one of the vice presidents. And so I'm a kid, I'm very nervous, and I said all the things that you usually say when you're looking for a job where you have no business being really, I'm a people person, I work hard and all that. And he listened patiently for a little while, and then he said, son, I knew that I didn't have a job, because son, I don't have a job for you, but if you could spend a little bit of time with me, I'd like to talk to you about what you should do the next time you go looking for a job. Well, I was not a fool, so I immediately said yes, and I took notes, and I took his advice, and I actually had a job the very next week using what he had taught me. And in fact, it was in finance at that, and I worked there a few months, and I became the sales manager. And so I had learned that when I'm not getting results, it wasn't necessarily, etched in stone, that often I just needed new approaches. I needed to understand things differently. In my new sales manager job, I originally had started off doing very poorly in that job as well. And I asked some of the people who were selling a lot of investments what they, what they did. And I took their advice, and it's very customer-focused, it's very easy to do. And I, as a result of that, I was talking to almost entirely referrals, and I had literally a 100% closing ratio. I sold everybody I talked to because I was focusing on their needs and what we could do. So this was really great until a couple years into that, management decided they had some things that they needed to push and wanted us to call our customers and sell this to them. And I said, I can't do this. It's like this, my whole thing is focused on meeting their needs. And if I sell them this thing that they don't need, my referral business is going to go up in smoke. And they said, do it anyway. And so I decided it was time to quit. But I had once again learned that there are systems for doing things better. And I actually quit and I went to work for a job that paid a fraction of this. I walked into Seven Rays Bookstore. It's a metaphysical, philosophical bookstore. I had been there before. I was interested. I knew a lot of the material. I talked to the owner and kind of explained that. He hired me on the spot. And a month later, I was the manager. A year later, we were promoting international concerts. By international here, I mean Canada. So, and a couple years after that, I had jumped from there into wholesale marketing for the music business, and then into freelance writing. I built my own management consulting firm, which was successful, but I just simply hated it. I made a lot of mistakes being young that I could have avoided. But at the time that when I was asked to teach economics, interpersonal communication at the college level, and then professional writing. So the point of all this is that I had learned that success isn't accidental, but it can be learned, and it can be practiced. One more quick story, too, before we go on. I started off as a professional musician, and early on, I was running all over the state as a musician. I was working a lot, but I was always broke. My health suffered pretty tremendously, because all I did was drive and play. And, you know, I was in my car literally more than I was at home and counting sleeping. And it just reached a point where I couldn't do it anymore. I just physically couldn't do it. And so not because I thought it was a good idea, but out of desperation, I actually ended up cutting my music work by 90%. I kept 1/10 of it. And then my income doubled. And this is like, what just happened here? It took me a while to piece that together. But I learned that reality was not what I assumed. The assumptions that I had about work, about time, about situations, none of it was real, which was confusing and frustrating, but it also meant that it could be changed. It could be learned. It could be adjusted. It could be fixed. When I started my work in reconnective healing and the reconnection, just before I started Kuan Yin Healing, I had noticed very powerful results from the connection that I had and what other people were experiencing, but also a lot of struggle and turmoil and confusion. So I set out to combine 30 years of metaphysical study that had started way before Seven Rays Bookstore, and certainly augmented by that, all the other people I had met along the way, and my experience in practical, real-world results, which is what we expect of musicians and management consultants, right? You deliver. And this all became the Kuan Yin journey, a very powerful, results-oriented, proven system of energy work and comprehensive learning modules that has and is transforming lives in the few months of the program. But I noticed two things, and this is our point for today. First, whenever people struggled at first in the early portion of the program, it was always for the same basic reasons. Then I also noticed that people wrestling with the decision to pursue the journey were struggling with the same exact issues. So I thought, man, what a gift. If I could help these people get unstuck as a New Year's gift, either to continue on working together with me or to move on to new progress themselves with this material, what a wonderful way to start the new year. So that's what's going on today. Today, I'm unveiling a 6-module mini course with some special offers and incentives to help anyone needing this work to embrace it and pursue it. But first, I'm offering this complimentary overview on New Year's Day to anyone on my list for free. It's not posted anywhere else. It's just for you folks, just my peeps, my tribe. Partly as a thank you for being here as Kuan Yin Healing grew and continues to grow, and including growing pains, and partly to ensure that your 2014 gets off to a rocking start. Unstuck, moving ahead, maybe quickly, maybe slowly, but moving ahead. So that's the agenda. Okay? Ready? All right, here we go. So, what keeps people stuck and what to do about it? Well, you already know the first part. Recognize the moose. This is easier said than done. My favorite example is at one point my car's air conditioning system broke. I didn't know why at the time. We just knew that the coolant was gone, and they couldn't find a leak. So they refilled it, stained the coolant, so if it leaked again, they could see where it was going. And that was that. And so my air conditioner worked great for like 2 days and like slowly petered out. And because it wasn't really warm weather, it didn't really bother me much, and I just kind of got used to it. And accepted this as the normal thing until some very, very frosty morning when I could hardly clear the condensation out. My point is this, we get used to the situations. Yeah, that moose may be big and obvious, but we get used to it. And it's only when somebody else comes in and says, "What is this moose doing here?" and that we see that, I am in my car a lot. It's not always the cleanest thing. And so when I clean my car, I mainly mean I got the stuff out, wipe stuff down. I can see out the windows, that kind of thing. And I have to remind myself if I'm, picking somebody up for, any kind of a formal purpose, a date, or just someplace where things need to be clean, that I have to remember that what I think of my car as clean is not what's going to pass muster in that situation. I got to look at the moose, and we can forget that the moose is there. So, in all six of these things, I don't mean to lecture or to, you're smart people. You know these things. But what I am saying, and I know from my own experience, it's difficult to see the moose when you're looking right at it, when you've lived with it for a while. Okay? So, these are the top six things that people continually run into. Dealing with others, dealing with current situations, dealing with money, dealing with thought, dealing with intuition and spirit, dealing with change. I'm going to go down them one by one. All right, so first, dealing with others. This is the simplest thing. It's easy to explain. And yet, I find that this is where the majority of people get stuck, right here at the beginning. Because the tendency is to blame others for the things that are going on us, or around us. It's these people who are in my way. If these other people would make different situations, different decisions, they would act differently. And this becomes a stumbling block. Now, the trouble with this is that it institutionalizes the status quo, because the perception is that nothing can be done unless other people change, and that's just not likely. And so you're in true bondage. There is, as long as the fault it lies with other people, there is literally, in your perception, hence reality, nothing that can be done. You are truly, truly stuck. That's it. There's nothing you can do. Now, this is a hard truth because, what comes back is, well, yeah, but if you knew the people I have to deal with or what they did or what they're doing, and the truth here, the moose in the room here is that we need to understand that this is a barrier that must be crossed. It just must be. And it's not how bad the people are. It's not how bad what they did or are doing are. As long as all the power is in their hands, you will forever be stuck. You are in true bondage. There's a saying I love, let go or be dragged. As long as we cling to something, okay, you're going to be dragged. And if you really, if we could step back and really hear the kinds of things that we say when we're going through this, we would realize what a problem this is. You know, so for example, you know, geez, I can't read this book because, you know, my ex liked it. Or, you know, that doesn't even make sense. That's clinging to it to a judgment that has nothing to do, you know, one has nothing to do with the other except by subjective association. But those kinds of connections are common. Our nose gets, you know, tweaked, our ego gets fired up, our dander gets up, and we're, you know, there we are. We're all bugged about this. Consider this about resentments. A whole lot of horrible things are happening in the world, right? I mean, in some parts of the world, people are getting their limbs hacked off, you know, over political and ethnic issues. There are, you know, people starving in many parts of the world. There are civil wars. And yet, even though those things are horrible and we may very well care, you notice that day to day, people don't walk around who aren't, you know, from there going, oh, this bugs me so much. I'm so mad about that. You know, maybe once in a while when something hits the news, but we really don't. And those things are far worse than the inner kind of interpersonal things that come up that folks have to deal with. So what the lesson here is, the difference is entirely subjective. We choose to focus on these couple little things because we see them as slights. Okay? Yeah, sure, horrible things are going on there, but they did this to me. It's an ego thing. And that's what makes it hard to get by. We want to stand up for ourselves. But I have to stress that as long as that's the case, as long as we cling to anything like that, there is nothing you can do. Now, even if people do hold all the power, there is that tiny 1% of things that you can do. Well, what can you do about this? You know, Stephen Covey in The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People talks about circles of influence. And even if your circle of influence is small, it's large enough to reach other people's circles and to start to build your influence. So that's a little bit more down the road thing. But the key thing here is to let go of all the things that have to do with other people. Even if you are right, I got to stress that point. Okay? Whether you're right or wrong isn't the point. The point is you have to let go of that because that will keep you stuck. That is not ever, ever, ever a way to move forward. To move forward, we need to say, well, what are the things that I can do? Okay? Not what are the things that other people need to change, but what are the things that I can do? That's really, really crucial. So, not to be repetitive, but this is just such a major sticking point for people. And well, how do you get by this? You have to get let go of your ego and ask yourself, do you want to be stuck? Do you want to be in true bondage? Do you want to let other people control you in this way? Or do you want to let go of it and be free? Okay? I'm really inviting you, let go of it and be free. Forgive, forget, or come as close to it as you can. Because anything else keeps not them trapped, but you trapped. Okay? So, wherever there are people who have wronged you, and I'm sure there are, there are people who have wronged me. You know, it happens. Don't camp out there. You got to step over this. Okay? It's only as hard as you make it. It's only as hard as you make it. And without this step, none of the rest matters. You will be forever trapped. That's the importance of this particular moose. Let it go. Okay? All right. Number two. Dealing with current conditions. When conditions are bleak or perceived as bleak, people tend to shut down. And the assumption is not actually a valid one in terms of reaching that conclusion. People stop planning, they stop trying things, they assume that they can't get what they want, and often the exact opposite is true. Let's take a couple looks. So for example, one common condition when economic conditions aren't great, okay? And there are obviously other conditions as well, but we tend to look at a negative indicator and say that's the entire reality. That's never the case, okay? Even when things are totally, totally awful in life, it doesn't mean that, you know, we say this, don't we? Oh, man, everything is going wrong. And that's not actually true. Many things may be going wrong. They may be serious things, but it's not everything. So we need to focus on the positive things. Now let's take, for example, an economic crash. And we'll see this, and the people will talk about this as like, oh, all this money vanished or this valuation vanished, and that didn't actually happen, because the day after a change, you know, some big economic fall, we have the same resources we had the day before, right? The same factories, the same land, you know, the same air, water, iron ore, you know, technical know-how. It's all there. The same stuff we had the day before. Okay? So the condition isn't that suddenly we have less stuff. We have plenty of stuff. The condition is it's not moving around as fluently as it was before. Okay? That's what a poor economy is. You know, so the recognition that we have the exact same resources means that contrary to popular belief, it doesn't mean that, so, well, the economy's bad, I won't be able to do things. Actually, it's a great time to do things. In fact, with a little bit of research, you can find several things written referring to this. There are many companies that actually start in bad economic times and become very powerful. Google is one example. Because in a bad economic time, first of all, there are more opportunities because people are selling at a loss. For example, you can get things more cheaply. But the assumption is that, well, there's no work, there are no opportunities. And that's simply not true because people still have needs, you know, that have to be met. People still have problems, in fact, more problems than normal in a poor economy. They still have problems that need to be solved. Every one of those problems that need to be solved, if you have a solution that can get the results that they're looking for, is an opportunity for which people will pay and will find a way to pay. Just for one example. If your working conditions aren't great, again, as if we cling to that, there's nothing. If we cling to, like, well, what opportunities are here? Okay, what chances to move forward are true? So the point is, anytime there's a condition that looks like, can't do this because of the conditions I'm in, we need to step back. Okay? So often those conditions involve our own people. Now we go back to the one we just talked about, okay, blaming others. But in any condition, there are opportunities as well as problems. I love what Clement Stone said. He said, I'm a reverse pessimist. I believe that the world is conspiring to help me. He gives this, this wonderful example of an insurance salesman, in the early 20th century, who had hit this one town. It was an entirely, you know, a small town, not rich, heavy ethnic area. I believe it was Dutch, if I remember correctly. So a kind of clannish in that. And he went knocking door to door, business to business, trying to sell his insurance, and came back with nothing. his mentor told him, you know, when he told his mentor what happened, his mentor said, that's fantastic, because it means that, one, you know, if it's a hard place to sell, it means none of these people have insurance. What an opportunity. If it's clannish, it means that if you can get to the clan leaders, that, you know, they'll, the word, all those doors were open. And he went back with this guy the next day. They called on the same businesses and sold a record amount of insurance that day. Amazing story. It was exactly the same situation, but with a different outlook. And that's really the thing. You know, it's not like magic, really, but it seems like magic, because if we assume that the bleak conditions are all that there is, then we don't see any opportunities. If we assume that there are opportunities, then we start to look for them and hence find them. So a really good rule of thumb here, you know, a really good rule of thumb for the first thing was, you know, let go or be dragged. A really good rule of thumb here is, whatever the bleak conditions, to say, that's fantastic, because, and in the blank, you look for opportunities to put in the blank, and really start to retrain yourself to do this. This is not Pollyanna thinking. This is finding the opportunities that are always there. Why? Because not looking for the opportunities that are there means you are, again, by definition, shut down. You're only looking at the problems, okay? So to get unstuck, you got to move from the problems to the opportunities. So whatever the circumstances, your response from now on, that's fantastic, because it means, okay? And then look for the possibilities that it means. All right, number three is dealing with money. We could go on for a few hours about this one. Misunderstandings about money is a very common problem. People use terms like income, wealth, currency, and money interchangeably, and they are usually they're not the same thing, and usually this puts the focus somewhere where the issue is not. And unfortunately, the political rhetoric of warring interest further clouds the matter. So let's take a look at what we're really looking for. Clarity is key here, okay? It's usually not money that people are looking for, okay? And let me kind of explain that a little bit. Nor, incidentally, is it a job that people are looking for. These are not the only ways to solve these economic issues. And the key point I want to make about this is that if money's all you want, money is actually very easy to come by. Money is a concept. It's moving ideas into circulation that are then accepted by others. So let me give an example. At one point, many years ago, I was in between situations, and I decided I was actually visiting Seven Rays. It's after I'd worked there, and there's all these business cards on the wall from psychics and tea readers and astrologers and you know, this, that, and the other thing. And there's this woman was standing here looking at this sea of business cards, and she said, "How would you even know how to pick?" And so she was clearly looking for somebody, but also clearly befuddled. And there's an old adage in marketing: the confused mind says no. And that's exactly what happened. You know, she was just confused and she didn't consult any of them. And meanwhile, I knew from knowing all these people coming into the store in the past that they're always complaining about a lack of clients. And yet here there are clients walking out the door because they're confused. So I said, well, geez, here's an opportunity. I simply took all the information from the cards, put together a brochure, rented a hotel room, wrote a bunch of press releases, asked who would like to, you know, charge the booth fee, ask who would like to give a speech to promote their what they do, charged a small amount of money at the door for the public as an information fair, so people could then come to this new information psychic fair. They could hear talks from various people. They could learn about the various people and the various kinds of things that they were doing. They could then go get a reading from people that they resonated with or not, entirely up to them. And the, you know, the psychic astrologers would charge whatever fee they did. And, you know, it was very well attended. The people were happy. The booth renters did quite well. And I made $3,000 in a weekend just by pulling things together. Now, you know, that's simply one example. But we tend to think of, you know, getting money as getting that job or a good job or there aren't jobs. And instead of doing that, you know, that's certainly one way. But if that's not working in the short run, think in terms of projects. What's a skill you have? What's a need that has to be done? What's a way to solve a problem? And then put together a project that does that. Now, the nice thing about projects is they don't have to be complicated. They can be quick in and out. And bring in some quick income. Or they could be repeated or adjusted. Or you can go from project to project to project. But it gives you a lot more opportunity. You know, we tend to think of, well, you know, geez, maybe I could save up from my job a long time. And maybe there's something that you could easily do. Say you need a couple $1,000s for something. There's probably a very easy project you could come up with that would let you raise that $2,000 doing something you like to do anyway. Okay. There's so many opportunities for this. Where people have trouble is getting unrealistic about thinking things through. I was talking about the law of attraction on my YouTube channel, and somebody raised the challenge that they that a friend who loved to make these elaborate carved cutting boards, and that he would have loved to just do that, but he couldn't make a living doing that, and so therefore you can't do what you want to do. And I said, well, wait a second. You know what? Let's think this through. You know, what could you realistically charge for a carved cutting board? So let's just say hypothetically $60. Okay, they're beautiful boards, and he's just this one guy hand carving them. How many would he have to make a decent living? You know, carving cutting boards one at a time like this. And if you just run the math, you realize it's not that people won't support it or it's not a good idea. Even if there were a steady stream of customers coming, there's no way for this to happen. It is simply unrealistic. So then it doesn't mean that, oh, geez, now I can't do this. It means, all right, now this is a condition, right? So what's the opportunity here? What are some ways? So here's where we need to get clear about what it is he wants. So one way, you know, well, would be, of course, to come up with a template and mass produce them. That'd be one way. And another way would be to say, well, what if are you interested in teaching? Would you like to give classes on how to carve these boards? So that could bring in a lot of money at once, because now you're talking to a group. Or maybe that he wants to really delve into making these super artistic ones that can sell for several thousand. I have a friend who lives out here in the middle of nowhere where I live, and he takes old barn wood. He's an artist, and he makes it into this very high-end, unique furniture that he sells in Manhattan for several thousand dollars a piece. So thinking things through. So instead of thinking about you know, money. Money is simply a concept. We can, you know, currency is not money. Wealth is not the same as money, you know. Income is not the same as money. Which of these things is it that you need? Okay? You know, my home is the value of my home is wealth. You know, how much money comes, so to speak, comes in this month is income. But keeping those things straight, what is it that you really need and what is it that you really want? The reason that people just don't go readily about just simply going out and getting all the money that they want is that money isn't really what they want, okay? So I really want to is sit here and carve these cutting boards. Well, then you're going to have to think of a different way to go about this. you know, whether that's giving classes or so forth. I hope that's making sense for folks. But mainly I want to open the door to understanding that there are many ways for money to come in. I'm one of the people who believe in having multiple flows of income from, so that not only work, but maybe projects, maybe investments, maybe real estate, maybe royalties, whatever, or to start getting those things in process, okay? And yeah, they have to be built up if you don't have those things. But to start to understand that there needs to be this flow in, and you can literally just turn on the faucet when you need a flow by putting together where are their needs, where are their people looking at the sea of business cards, not connecting with the people who are trying to offer the services, how can you bring them together? Okay? So some things to think about. Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Workweek, is good about challenging those kinds of assumptions as well. Ferriss, if you haven't seen it yet. Tim Ferriss also assumes that what people want is to not work, which I'm not sure is true. I think it's better to want to find things that you love to do. Nonetheless, some good ideas there. All right, number four. Dealing with thought. So people will get caught up in their thought and get stuck there. It's interesting, even the phrase, you know, caught in thought. This is a metaphor itself, right? I'm just caught in thought. I'm wrapped up in thought. The metaphor itself says that you're stuck. The problem here is one of scattered energy. Okay, the problem is coherence. And so this goes hand in glove with clarity. It's hard to get something accomplished. It's hard to get unstuck if you're going in every direction at once because there's no direction. Hence, you're stuck. So the key question to ask here, first of all, is what do you want? Often our mind is racing because it doesn't know where it wants to go. What do you want? Most people, I'm not sure most, many people, honestly don't know what they want, you know, and that's why they have trouble getting it. That's why they have trouble finding a direction. You can't get unstuck if you're not actually going anywhere or know where you want to go. So then when people start thinking about this, I find that sometimes there's a sense of once they start to believe that they can pick something, they feel overwhelmed. Like, what do? I don't know what I want. This is that. Pick something. Pick anything. Pick something you change later. But until you pick something, you're stuck. You know, if you're starving, if you're in a restaurant and there's all this stuff in the restaurant, you know, and you don't know what to choose, and you just sit there, but you're starving, just pick something and eat it, you know, because it will move things forward. From management days, one of my favorite topics is, what's a manager's primary job? And the manager's primary job is to make a decision, even the wrong decision. But once somebody makes a decision, everybody else can start working on it and things can move forward. That's the same thing here. You got to pick a direction. What do you want? Pick something. And I would also suggest, you know, we tend to, while I believe in you know, multiple streams of income and so forth, multiple opportunities, at the same time, you know, we say, don't put all your eggs in one basket. You can only do so much. And this is a good argument for doing a lot fewer things. It's like, once you decide what you want, narrow it down. What are the major things that you want? Because as long as you're scattered, you're going to get scattered results. And so you're stuck. And you're stuck simply because you're not headed in any clear direction. Napoleon Hill, you know, who took Andrew Carnegie's challenge to put together a philosophy of success, interviewed literally hundreds of people under Carnegie, opening doors, and put together the principles of success that person after person talked about. And at the top of the list, number one was you needed a definite major purpose. Until then, you're simply scattered in energy, and that's why our minds race. Okay. I would add to this the importance of meditation. We overwork our minds. You know, the body works just fine without the conscious mind much of the time. In fact, it works often better and faster. You know, if you've ever had something sudden happen, you notice that your body reacts before your mind catches up to it. Learn to step back from your thoughts. It sounds crazy, but you can actually do this. One of the things, you can actually do it easily. One of the typical complaints I hear about meditation, for example, people say, I try to meditate, I can't meditate, my thoughts just keep racing, and I don't know what to do. Well, the good news is that you already are, somebody in that situation is already meditating. Meditation is being aware of your thought, and the being aware of the separation between you and your thoughts. And the very fact that you could say that about yourself and your thought shows that you're aware there's you and your thought. Now, those things right now are pretty close together, but you're aware at that moment that you are not I thought. Okay? The thought is going racing, but there's that separation. That's meditation. And what you can do is, one of my favorite pieces of advice is just, you know, I'm just racing. I don't know what to think. Just take my head out, put it in the nightstand, let that thing race over there and go about my day. So, which is very different than stopping my thought. I just pull back and just let it race and just lose that connection to it. Because staying up in there, again, is scattering energy. Okay? What's the next thing? There are so many things to do. What do I do? What's the next thing? What's the mega plan? One of the best ways to plan that direction is to think not in terms of all the parts of something, but to break it down into all its different parts. Okay, so that you have a series of tasks that you can do. And a task is something you can do in an hour or less. And once you do that, it takes a little thought and planning. You get a real honest picture of what the path is. Okay, try it. It's a powerful way to start. All right, the fifth way of getting stuck is a poor connection to accessing intuition and spirit. We need a connection to things greater than ourselves if we're going to step out of thought, if we're going to step out of, you know, just our association with others and conditions, if we're going to look for new opportunities, it's powerful to be able to access spirit and intuition. But the problem here is that we run quickly into an issue of belief. Now, I'm not here talking, this is where the misunderstanding comes. This is why people are stuck here. I'm not talking about, well, you have to believe X or you have to believe Y. In fact, quite the opposite. And this is where people get stuck. Like, well, you know, I heard this and I don't like that. I don't believe that. Or I used to follow these people, but those people did this thing I don't like. Or there's this other history, and man, I just can't be associated with the history that goes with this. Fine. All those are things that you don't believe, and all those things are irrelevant. But the key to accessing intuition and spirit is to focus on, well, what do you believe? And even if what you do believe is, I don't know, nothing, I just think there's an energy that moves through nature, that I can see. Okay, that's great. And the reason isn't to form a new religion around whatever you believe. The issue is to get honest with yourself about what is true. What is true? What do you resonate with? What do you know, even if nobody, everybody else thinks you're crazy, what do you know is truth, is true? Because this is the way to build this connection. Everything else is looking in the entirely wrong direction. So forget all the things you don't like or don't believe. What for you is true? And this means you're going to have to get quiet and get honest with yourself. It means you're going to have to let go. I went through this process. I know how hard it can be at first. Let go of all those pet peeves and rants and judgments you've collected over the years and just go, let me forget about all that. Here's what's true for me. And then you build a consistent practice around that. What happens is this. People go, I try to tune into intuition, but I can't. You know, I try to get in spirit, but I can't. And it's kind of silly because it would be kind of like saying, well, you know, I sat down and I tried to play the piano, but I couldn't. Well, it doesn't mean you can't. It means it takes a little bit more commitment than that. It takes a little bit of learning. It takes a little bit of practice. Same thing is true here. Is accessing intuition and spirit is far easier than you would think, but it does mean that you have to spend some time in practice. So the first step is to get honest with yourself about what do you believe? What is truth for you? It's like, all the S is crap, fine, but this for me is true. And then you build yourself a daily practice around this. So even if it's, well, you know, I just believe there is an energy that goes through nature, you grab yourself some sort of daily reading and material in the morning that supports this. There's probably some 365 book, you know, about natural reflections. There are all kinds of these. Go out and spend, you know, pour yourself a cup of tea and spend 10, 15 minutes in the morning communing with your tree and nature and your 365 book. That's it. And just start your day that way. But every single day, don't skip any. It's got to be consistent. Because whatever else is going on in your life, you'll start with this touchstone. Remember all the trouble with getting letting go of, you know, blaming others and bleak conditions and misunderstandings and is that it's habit. You know, we've built this up. It kind of, you know, accumulates. Instead, you start every day with this clear truth touchstone. Whatever else happens, you come back the next day, you've got this clear truth and touchstone. And you start to gain some clarity. And so you kind of lose that mental confusion that we mentioned in the fourth problem, dealing with thought. Okay? You can get the space to start letting go instead of being dragged. You can get the space to start to see opportunities. And you can open the space for getting those flashes of intuition. Now, we can help you out here, you know. One of the things that happens pretty frequently in healing sessions and the reconnection or energy alignments is abrupt flashes of intuition because of that heightened connection. You know, we've gone through that mess of thought. But you can do this yourself. Now, typically we'll fall back into the problem with, you know, caught in thought, right? I try to do this, but I can't turn off my head. Okay, here's what you do. So first of all, switch to a heart focus. Understand that the job of the mind is to think of something, right, of a direction, and then the job of the mind is done. Okay? Really just go with me on this. You think, you decide what direction, you know what you want, and now the job of the mind is done. Don't rehash it. Now it's the job of the heart. And you can do this if you notice, you know, we tend to think inside our head as, but your nervous system, okay, the thinking part of you is actually throughout your entire body, you know, physiologically. That's your central nervous system. It's just simply a cultural phenomenon to put it in your head. Switch your attention to your heart. That's it. Just go down, you know, whatever, 18 inches there, and just focus your attention instead of in your head, focus your attention in your heart. Okay? And just relax and breathe and just keep your attention focused in your heart. Okay? If you do it right now, and you'll notice, more so when I'm not talking, but you'll notice right away as you keep your focus on your heart, your head slows down. Right away, it becomes more right-sized, okay? And you can feel more energy in your heart, okay? So this is where you want to spend most of the time. Your head likes to take over, okay? This is not the job of the mind. The mind is very important, okay? But it's not 24/7, okay, the way it wants to be. And so simply switching to this in the focus will help your mind. And you will start to have those flashes of intuition as you practice it. Be patient. Okay? So you decide, the brain decides what it wants to do. You switch to this heart focus thing and you just relax. And you just feel with your heart outward. Okay? And the job of the heart is to find out how to do this. So there's an opportunity here. Where is it? Okay? Those sorts of things. And you will have those flashes of intuition and insight. And then the mind can go back to planning it out. Okay? This is not hocus pocus stuff. You read what, you know, major successful people are saying, business people, and you will find that they spend an hour or two every day in meditation, listening to intuition, because they need that bigger picture than the head alone. Okay? Absolutely crucial. You are accessing something larger than yourself. This has been kind of a silent business secret for a long, long time. Napoleon Hill talked about it and around it, but it's he was just repeating what everybody kind of already knew. Intuition is absolutely crucial. That connection is crucial. And you can learn to do that. It just takes some practice. Okay? So, don't get stuck in the piano fallacy, so to speak. All right, and then the final one, dealing with change. All right, so not uncommonly, this is like my air conditioning example, and just like the moose. Not uncommonly, we become comfortable, okay, with the ills that we know, and consciously or not, we resist changing them. We actually prefer to recreate the present bad situation, okay? And when we do this, change seems hard. And the fact that it's not that change is hard is that we keep recreating the place that we're in. And so the moose stays stuck where it's not belong. So, I mean, it's a funny way to talk about it, but it's the truth of the matter is that much of the time, without recognizing it even, we are not willing to change. Okay? We don't take opportunities because we're not willing to try. We kind of like where we are. You know, we say that, oh, you know, I need more money, or I need more, I need to go out and date, or I need to, whatever it is, need to do. You know, clean up around here, whatever it is. we don't, that means changes, and we don't like changes, you know? And so we pretend it's not there. But here's the thing. The moose, it is there. Something does need to be changed. There's a wonderful flow chart says at the top says, do you want to be happy? You know, yes or no. And I'm sorry, I said this. Are you happy? Yes or no? And if you are happy, you know, yes, then the next arrow is to keep doing what you're doing. And presumably then you're not stuck or you're stuck in happiness. So, and if no, the next question is, do you want to be happy? This is a powerful question. And if the answer is no, you keep doing what you're doing. Okay? And if the answer is yes, you have to do something different. And I would just suggest that, you know, many people, the answer is no. Being happy would be too great a price to pay. You know, I don't want to make that change. But here's the thing. If you want different things to happen, you have to do different things. That's it. That's the baseline reality. This keeps many, many people stuck. They want things to change, but they don't want to change. There's an old joke. People, there are only two things that people don't like: when things change and when things stay the same. So embrace the reality. You know, things don't stay the same. We constantly grow, you know, like trees growing. We have to keep going. We can't reach a point and say, okay, that's it. I'll just stay here frozen. You know, nothing in nature can do that. When we try to do that, we're creating our own problems. So that's a lot of stuff at once. I know I'm probably challenging a few things, but to run them down quickly again, dealing with others, even if they richly deserve it, okay? You can't blame others and be unstuck. You got to let go of that. Even if they deserve it, you're in bondage. You can't move on until you let go of that. Number two, dealing with conditions, assuming that the current conditions are bleak and immutable. Neither is true. There are always opportunities. Things are always changing. There are no such things as a bad time. Number three, misunderstandings about money. You know, people say they want money. It's usually not what they really want. Understand that, you know, what kind of money do you need exactly? Income, wealth, what exactly are you looking for? Do you need a job or a better job? Or is it a shortfall? Could projects take care of this? You know, money itself is pretty easy to come by. But we have to come up with something that is realistic and think it through, like the cutting boards. The possibilities are many. Number four, caught in thought. You know, literally caught in thought is step back from your thoughts, realizing that when you do that, you're just scattering energy in every direction. What do you want? Pick something. Focus that energy. Number five, dealing with access to intuition and spirit. This takes practice, but it's important. It's important. It will build, and it will build faster than you think, by the way. A month or two, you'll see major results. Switch to a heart focus. Let these insights come. And number six, you have to be willing to change, dealing with change. Okay? Stepping into something better, stepping up to something unstuck from where you are, means stepping out of where you are and into change. Okay? Absolutely crucial. So that's it. These are the things that keep people stuck, the primary things. So right there is enough to work with. I know those are only the broad strokes, but it's enough to work with. If you would like to pursue this further, then the paid part of the January Lose the Moose 2014 system is six sessions, one on each of these, where we really go into depth. and really go into the practical aspects of this and really come to a rich understanding of what's going on here and how do we get unstuck from this. So I have a couple of, I'm sorry, the way this will work then is starting on January 8th, every 2 days for until we get through them. So 8th, 10th, 12th, 14th, 16th, and 18th. And the price for these, when I laid this out, I originally came up with $297, which is going to be the official price still when this is all done. But I do want to get people unstuck and off to a good start. So I decided that I'm going to offer everybody, at least during this program, for my peeps, for my tribe, this at $197. So, you know, $100 off, a third off. After the 20th, then I'll put it back up to the regular price. So I wanted to offer you the chance to go through this for $197 and really get a taste of this and really start to get unstuck. Further, it's really helpful when people sign up early so I know what I'm getting into here. And the 6th of January is the end of the Christmas season, the 12th day. It's the Epiphany. And the Epiphany is a really special day, not simply in a religious sense. It's an Epiphany is a revelation, a sudden realization. It's an abrupt change, you know. In the Christmas story, it's when the wise men come and realize that Jesus is of a Christ nature, in the same sense of like a Buddha nature, this connection. They realize that connection. But Epiphany more broadly is the spiritual realization, that abrupt change. And so this seems like a perfect day to step forward and say, I'm enough of being stuck. I'm moving forward. It's Epiphany Day. I'm going to go from darkness into light, the whole message of the winter solstice, and move forward my 2014 with new habits, with new plans, without being stuck, whether I go slowly or not. So as a bonus then, if you sign up by Epiphany, by January 6th, not only will you get the entire Lose the Moose a set of six programs for $197, but I will also throw in a bonus meditation on From Darkness into Light and about the Epiphany. It actually is part of a bonus I offered this year in my Kuan Yin Journey program. So I'll add that in for you as well if you sign up early. And if you haven't already, also the 10 meditation steps for people who can't meditate. I know some of you have that already, but I'll throw that in as well if you register by January 6th. If money is tight, I use PayPal, so you don't have to have a PayPal account. You can pay, you know, through whatever credit card, but if you do use PayPal and go, you can sign up when you pay on for Bill Me, what's called Bill Me Later, and you can pay in 6 monthly, up to 6 months to pay with no interest rates. Okay, so so that's what, $32 a month, so for this. So that's within the reach of everyone. All right, my whole mission here is, in Kuan Yin healing, is to really start to get the message across to people in a visceral way that life is joyful and healthy, and every part that where that does not seem to be the case, it can be fixed. We have, you know, we are there are misunderstandings in health and in life path, and this getting unstuck, this Lose the Moose system, is the perfect part. So rather than simple resolutions for 2014, dive in. Let's get you unstuck. Let's get you moving forward, okay? Maybe quickly, maybe slowly. As little as $32 a month if you want to go that way. $197 for this for all six sessions, which after the 20th will go up to the regular price of $297. Sign up by January 6th, and I'll give you that bonus from Dr. Cinta Light on the Epiphany and the 10 tips for meditation for people who can't meditate. And either way, I hope that you find today's session useful. Listen to the recording a couple times. We talked about a lot of things. Some of the things are going to challenge you, but really take them to heart. Again, these are the things that keep people where they are. So let's take a good look at that moose, and let's realize that big as it is, you know, it's got to go. The moose is not in its proper place. Okay, I hope this has been helpful. I love you all, and I hope to see you in the full version of the program. Right? Namaste, and Happy New Year.